Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kind of rare we would say this, but the Dallas Cowboys are playing the Chicago Bears, and it's the Bears that are the bigger story heading into that game. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We're so used to the Cowboys sucking up so much oxygen, Pearl, but this time the Bears are front and center. They're 0-2, and their head coach is calling out the team in two different press conferences this week, calling out their effort, calling out their practice habits, and really kind of laying bare how much, no pun intended, how much work has to be done for this team to even be a contender, a playoff contender or competent.
Yeah, so last week, the Eagles Chiefs did $33.8 million, which is like this massive number for Fox. I think this game does the same thing. I think Cowboys and Bears, because I think Caleb Williams is just must-watch TV in the sense that like we're all kind of really interested to see if he can step up here. I'm curious, like, it's a lot of pressure on Caleb Williams. Everyone, I mean, they must be aware that everybody in NFL Nation is talking about them. I wonder how that affects them. I kind of wonder if he's going to be tight here in Dallas because, as you said, for the first time forever, we're not talking about the Cowboys. Maybe Dallas is a little bit looser for this game.
Yeah, a bit under the radar, which is kind of shocking considering the summer they had going into the fall and the trading of Micah Parsons. But, you know, this is going to be a big game. You're right. I think it's going to do a huge number. This is a 425 Eastern game, and this is why you really never know when you call your team out publicly how they're going to respond. And none of us know. We're all going to find out together on Sunday. But just for a little of what we're talking about, here's Ben Johnson from, well, let's play Monday first. Let's set this up chronologically. So, Manny, can I please have cut 18 first? This is from Monday, so they get blown out by the Lions Sunday afternoon, and here's Ben Johnson about what practice was going to be like this week.
We're going to have a lot more competition. I've alluded to it before. Just what these guys look like when the ball's not in their hands, that's a big deal for us. And so there were some plays there yesterday that we weren't quite as pleased with what that looked like on tape.
Right, so that was Monday, okay? So now let's hear cut 16. Ben Johnson has some time to look at the tape, and what did he find?
Yeah, there were things all over the tape on all three phases that we're looking to clean up, and I thought as a whole that that team, they played a little bit harder than us, and that's a reflection of me as a coach. That's a reflection of our coaching staff, and it's a reflection of our players too. When you play a good team like that on the road, that you got to be all out and every single snap, and that just was not the case.
It's kind of one of the most damning things you can say about a professional athlete because the talent's there. All these guys make it to the league for a reason. To say that they were not giving max effort is one of the biggest criticisms, you can levy at a professional athlete.
Yeah, but I mean, if you allow 52 points, is that really a big deal to criticize your team for a lack of, you just let up 52 points. Yeah, no duh, your effort wasn't there. I would hope if your full-on effort was there and you let up 52 points, then you have a bigger problem on your hand. Of course they didn't. everybody could see that the Bears were not fully engaged in that game.
Yeah.
So is it like a hot take from Ben Johnson to call out the team's effort? I think most coaches in that situation would do it. It's not super radical to call out your team's effort after a massive blowout.
Okay, that's fine. But then this was what sets up this game and this weekend, because if you're not giving max effort against the Dallas Cowboys, who I don't think we believe are as good as the Detroit Lions, then now the coach like has kind of turned it back on himself. All the players are going to have to answer for it.
Yeah.
And if the coach's message doesn't get through, well, then the coach either has to try a different message or he can't replace every single player.
Not this year.
Okay. Well, it's not the transfer portal. It's professional sports with contracts and commitments to people.
That's the thing about the Bears and this narrative behind the scenes because of this expose on Caleb Williams. They were not holding Caleb Williams accountable. Now Ben Johnson is not only holding Caleb accountable, which he did multiple times this offseason in public, he's holding the whole team accountable. And if they're not going to deliver, then he's got to get them out the door as fast as humanly possible.
Okay, but that would be the offseason, right? But this specifically could be a spot where maybe Ben Johnson's not doing his team any favors by calling them out publicly. Because there's ways you hold people accountable behind the scenes. You go to a press conference and say, hey, we're handling that behind closed doors. He's not doing that. And you just said, is it possible that the Bears come in tight for this game? Because of how many people are watching, they're 0-2. And I just wonder if Ben Johnson is preaching this, you know, every practice rep's got to be on point and we need accountability. Is Caleb Williams the guy who's going to execute those marching orders? Like, it just, you know, from all we've heard about Caleb Williams, both the people who are for him and the people who are critical of him, no one is saying that he's this really outsized leader. Now,
yeah, but so what? Ben Johnson's filling that role. Like, that happens on teams, doesn't it?
Well, I think the coach can say it, but I think that the players are the ones who have to really start holding each other accountable. I do think that there is only so much you can do as a coach. I think we talk about some of the great teams of all time, which we're about to do in our King of the Mountain project. Yes, the coaches are great, like but the players themselves also have to hold each other accountable. And generally, in this day and age, that comes from the quarterback. We talked about this with Micah Parsons. Can you be a leader from the defensive side of the ball? And you always said, no, it has to come from the offense. It has to come from generally from the quarterback.
Yeah, but I mean, you think about the Patriots with the ultimate leader, Tom Brady. Tom Brady just stood there and watched Bill Belichick yell at everybody, including him. I feel like that came from Belichick.
See,
I mean, they were on top of their players. Everybody on that staff was on top of everybody from Tom Brady on down, yelling at them constantly.
No, I get that. But in Tom taking that criticism was a huge part of why then everyone had to take the criticism. But think about what Brady said once about Baker Mayfield took over in Tampa. And he said, well, I have a feeling that we're having a lot more fun now. And Brady said, I'm sorry, it's a fun to win championships. Yeah. It's not fun to sit around and like yuck it up. I think Brady was absolutely executing Belichick's marching orders, 100%.
Well, he left because he was so sick of it.
Well, that was after 20 years.
But Tom Brady didn't have to go yell at anybody. Like, I think that...
I think he did.
Belichick sat Malcolm Butler. I mean, like, all you have to like... Belichick, it was his hardcore... as any coach ever, and it's the Bill Parcells model. He would basically call out anybody at any time, and he didn't even care. Bill Parcells did not work through the quarterback. Trust me. I mean, you could ask Phil Simms around here is a lot. Like, Phil Simms wasn't yelling at people. Bill Parcells was yelling at people. I think there are different models to do this. And what's the downside here for Ben Johnson? They're 0-2. Like, call him out in public. Like, call him out behind the scenes, whatever. He has to get a fire under this team somehow. I'm not sure that it's a bad approach. I'm not sure that there's any downside to doing this in public. Because I think like he really needs to inspire this team somehow.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We're asking you about the Bears. And what if the team does not respond to Ben Johnson calling them out in public?
It probably won't.
Is Caleb Williams the right person
to
deliver this message of accountability and trying to be at a championship level?
The real question is, will they go to Tyson Badgett? I mean, that's really what's behind this. Because if it really, really goes off the tracks and Caleb Williams is not running Ben Johnson's offense, then Ben Johnson will probably go to Tyson Badgett. So that's really the big marker of this entire situation. Like, that is, to me, that's a possible massive turning point in the Bears story.
Do you think we're there yet? Are we even close to being there?
Absolutely not. Okay. I think it could be, but if it's like week 10 and Caleb doesn't, say he takes a step back from where he was in week 2, then it's possible. I think Ben Johnson's putting it out there, like, this is unacceptable. This is garbage from start to finish. And guess what? No duh. You guys had a Lions game. Like, that was garbage.
Yeah.
The offensive line was hot garbage. The run game is disastrous. The defense is awful. So Ben Johnson, to me, should call him out even more.
All right, you can weigh in on Chicago. Going to have a lot of eyeballs on this game because they're welcoming in the Dallas Cowboys. And the Cowboys, for once, not really the story here, which is pretty shocking. Quick spread on that game looks like...
It's close, right? It's like 1.5.
Vamp, vamp, vamp. Yeah, Cowboys 1.5-point favorite. And the over-under at 50.5. Okay, we get some picks.
That is a high total. Wow.
High total. I'm looking at the now. I got to check the weather once I see a total like that in Chicago. Again, vamp 76 and cloudy.
Yeah, and I know Deron Bland and Diggs did not practice yesterday, so that is not the quarterbacks on Dallas. That is that's an opportunity. We'll see if Caleb can take advantage.
Again, you can call us about the Bears, 888-710-4ISN. Now, every Thursday at this time, we are doing something called the King of the Mountain, which is all season long, we are trying to find the greatest NFL team of all time. Whoever wins in a head-to-head poll that you vote on, and Maggie and Pearl on X, gets to be the King of the Mountain for another week until we put them up against another challenger. I'd love to say we... planned it this way, but we didn't. The 1972 Dolphins were the first team out of the gate to face off against the 1998 Minnesota Vikings. Miami won that matchup. So last week, Miami, 72 Dolphins, undefeated season, still the King of the Mountain, went up against the 1978 Pittsburgh Steelers. Miami Dolphins won. This week, a new challenger to those undefeated Dolphins. First, let's hear the Dolphins.
Who is the King of the Mountain? Maggie and Perloff search for the greatest NFL team of all time.
Okay, so the 72 Dolphins, still your King of the Mountain.
Behind an offensive line that was simply awesome, Miami became the first to have 2,000-yard runners on the same squad. The inside man was Zonka, the prototype of the bruising fullback. He was perfectly complemented by the outside moves and speed of number 22, Mercury Marks.
Man, I can't tell if that's music for a football team or like a buddy cop show from the 70s. I love it all. And today, the 1972 Miami Dolphins, Pearl, still the King of the Mountain, face off against a new challenger, the 1984 San Francisco 49ers.
Joe Montana was named Super Bowl MVP. The 49ers won easily to finish the season with an NFL record 18 victories.
Gee, how you like that, huh? How you like that? Pretty good, huh? Woo-hoo! Oh, we kicked their ass.
Kick their ass! They can go back to Miami.
And go and fish.
And go fish.
Nobody knew what kind of offense we had. It was their offense, right?
Nobody knew.
Our offense showed them, okay? And then, how in the hell were we going to stop Duper Clayton Arena? Nobody knew but us, right?
All
right.
On their back.
Game ball. Coach Bill Walsh.
Okay. We did not rig this whole thing. Can we just point that out? The first matchup, Miami was undefeated at number one. I'm looking at a list at the NFL 100-year anniversary a few years ago. They made a big deal. They put out top 100 teams. And I'm just going to tell you, Miami was number one. Don't let that bias your voting. Number two was the 85 Bears. Then last week's opponent, the 1978 Steelers, were number three.
Mm.
And this week's opponent, the 84 Niners, are number four. So we've had three of the top four teams of all time, according to this 100-year list, already. And we just started this darn thing. And last week I argued that the 78 Steelers should have taken out the 72 Dolphins, and it was the closest poll we've ever had. I will argue again today, the 84 Niners have to take out the 72 Dolphins because the 72 Dolphins wouldn't even know what hit them if they played this 84 Niners team.
Wait, how can you say that? Now, I understand, you just heard it, the 49ers beat the Miami Dolphins in the Super Bowl, but you can't let that cloud you because this was not the 72 team. This was a young Dan Marino team, very, very different.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I'm just saying, because they wouldn't know what hit him, because in 19, I think it was 80, 81, Bill Walsh came into the NFL, the Niners, he might have started in 79, and created an offense that the rest of the NFL could not figure out at all, the West Coast offense. And maybe by the late 80s, people started to figure it out, but 84, it was still in its prime, and nobody could coach with Bill Walsh. They were 15-1, could have been actually one of the first undefeated teams, beat really, really good teams in the playoffs. That was a pure system. Maybe not the most talented Niners team, but at that point, Bill Walsh was so far ahead. If you ever read the book, The Blind Side, that became the Sandra Bullock movie, it talks about how Bill Walsh took the NFL by storm with his offense. And that was the peak year, I would argue, was 84. And the Dolphins, as great as they were, they'd be like, what are these short passes? I've never seen a short pass in there. They would be mystified. And I know we're adjusting for eras, but I still think that Niners team is better.
Okay, so where the Miami Dolphins in 72, the undefeated team, were number one in scoring, number one total yards, rush yards, number one on the defensive side, points allowed, yards allowed, the whole deal. I mean, San Francisco, for that innovative offense, they were not tops in the league that year. No, they were second, but they were not tops in the league in offense. Second in scoring, second in total yards, fourth in passing yards, third in rushing yards. Now, the defense was dynamite. They kind of, both teams have this in common. You know, they call it the famously the no-name defense with the Miami Dolphins. This defense was also kind of like, there weren't like tons of like household name stars on this defense. And they even talked about that in a documentary I was watching about this 84 team yesterday. The kind of the whole team, you know, Joe Montana's obviously super famous and so is Bill Walsh, but they didn't have like these massive personalities on the team. And in a lot of ways, they thought that was a secret weapon. People thought they weren't intense. They thought they weren't, you know, ferocious because they didn't talk a lot.
Well, yeah, to be fair, though, about not being number one on offense, can we just address that real quick? That's because Dan Marino just reinvented every passing record of all time. That was, I was like, how are the Niners not number one on offense? That Dan Marino year in 84 doesn't count.
That's yes, it like, does.
That's what they, that was by so far and away the greatest quarterback season we'd ever seen. To come in second in passing, but they were top three in passing, so they could run the ball, and they could pass the ball, and they could play defense. So much like that 72 Dolphins team, the perfect Dolphins team, they were well-balanced.
More Hall of Famers on the 72 Dolphins team by a few. This 84 49ers team, just FYI, if you're thinking in your car, like Jerry Rice was not on this team. He got there later. So
Dwight Clark, right?
Yeah. And there's some amazing footage, though. As much as I'm stumping here for the 72 Dolphins, there is some amazing stuff from the 84 49ers, Pearl. Some stuff that caught my ear, again, from a documentary thing like America's Game. So here's, let's play Bill Walsh first. This is Bill Walsh. So the team went 15-1. Okay, they lost that year, the only loss, to a 3-3 Pittsburgh Steelers team, I believe, right? And they got hosed on a couple calls, according to them. This is Bill Walsh in the film session after that loss.
49ers suffered their only defeat of the season.
We say that officials can lose it for you. They did. But that's part of the game. They're inept idiots. But that is part of life, whether you're driving down the street or in the military, or working somewhere, or making love, or whatever the hell it is. There are some things that happen out of your control, and you have to account for them and overcome them.
I'm sorry.
Facts.
What was that?
All facts.
Which one of those things is not like the other?
They are inept idiots.
No, you're driving. That was the first part, calling the officials inept idiots, which is funny. But he just said, whether you're driving down the road, in the military, making love, there's things you can't account for.
Yeah, happens.
I
mean,
I don't see a lie here.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens quickly.
Yeah.
Life comes at you fast, is what you're saying.
You know, you never know what's going to happen in those situations.
I mean, you have an idea, no?
Well, I don't know. Whatever. We're not going to get into that.
You got to be accountable for everything.
Yeah. All right. Well, I did not see that left turn coming.
Yeah, I've kind of lost track of the actual topic here
of
for a second.
Of the actual
there.
Message, yeah. Yeah.
By the way, check me if I'm wrong on this.
Genius.
Was this, and maybe I'm totally wrong because the 80s had a lot, was this the last outdoor Super Bowl that was actually in daylight? Because that never, ever happens.
It's a good
idea. It was at Stanford Stadium, which I've been to many times. My in-laws live out there.
It's a great question. The highlights I keep seeing are all night.
was definitely...
I mean, the game may have ended at night. I don't know when it began, though.
I'm almost sure I've seen a lot of highlights that has daylight in it, right? There's some famous pictures. That's the Dan Marino Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Double check that. Because it's unusual for that to happen.
Yeah, it was Super Bowl 19, right? Okay, yeah. So there's another interesting thing about the 84 San Francisco 49ers, Pearl, and this was kind of a trend, and you know, Manny's probably too young for this, and EJ too, but there was a trend where sports teams used to come up with theme songs for themselves. And this was the San Francisco 49ers. 14 players on the 49ers recorded this hit midway through the season.
14 guys from the team recorded a song called We're the 49ers. We're the 49ers. We will rock you till we win the fight.
Man.
I've never heard that in my entire life. Have you guys heard that?
I had not.
I remember watching the doc and seeing this. That's when I remembered it.
Whoever produced that track, I would love to have seen the mountain of cocaine that was in front of that person. That thing sounds like, that's like the 80s, just up your nose right there. Now, I didn't live through it, but I've heard. It's a banger of a song,
though. Why do all 80s teams, why do they all got guess songs?
The 85 Bears at the Super Bowl Shuffle.
Yeah, the Icky Shuffle. Like, what's with these teams? And they need a song in order to talk about their season. And they all seem to be good, by the way. None of these seasons flamed out.
But Icky Shuffle, was there a song that went with the Icky Shuffle? I don't believe so.
Yeah, there was.
Oh, there was a...
Definitely.
Oh, what was the song? It was called
It was something, you gotta do the Icky Shuffle. It was something. It was a song.
Oh, was it? Okay, I just remember the dance.
I mean, the Knicks then did this in the 90s, you know, the little go New York Knicks. Yeah, Perloff had to sing it once to pay off a bet. Should we bring this back? Knicks. The Eagles did a Christmas album recently with Jason Kelce, but they were just singing covers.
Well, I was just saying it's rubbish.
You get different theme songs, like pop songs, like a lot of, now everybody plays Mr. Brightside, right?
I'm saying the team themselves, they're the talent on the song.
But now, I hear what you're saying, but now I feel like teams have wised up and associate themselves with a pop song and sort of adopt it. Mm. You know, they bring in a song from the outside.
We have some athletes who have some pretty good rap careers, or like baseball with Jose Iglesias last year with OMG. So guys are still musical. We're just not getting that full team song. Oh my God. We got to bring this back. What if all of a sudden, just like in the middle of the season, the Bills just like dropped an anthem?
Start by Deion Dawkins featuring Josh Allen.
Exactly. Called Please Don't Blow It.
And Joey Bosa.
Gotta get Benny the Butcher in there somehow.
That's pro.
Yeah, get a whole Griselda crew in there. Conway
By the way, can we play the song again? Because good luck not having this stuck in your head for the rest of the day.
14 guys from the team recorded a song called We're the 49ers.
Very good. All right. Who's the king of the mountain this week? The 1972 undefeated Dolphins or the 1984 San Francisco 49ers? You can go vote at Maggie and Pearl on X to see who moves on. 888-710-4ISN. Coming up, we've got some injury news for you, up to date on these quarterbacks. Stay tuned.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's a little bit like me, though. A lot of people, I gained a lot of fame because there were a lot of guests on the Dan Patrick Show who thought I was Christopher Mintz-Plasse.
What kind of a stupid name is that, Fogle? What, are you trying to be an Irish R&B singer?
Oh, they let you pick any name you want when you get down there.
And you landed on McLovin.
Yeah, I was between that and Muhammad.
Why the f*** would it be between that or Muhammad?
It's Maggie and Perloff.
Hey, Muhammad is the most commonly used name on Earth. Read a f***ing book for once.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Real talk here. They're definitely... When we formed the show, I left the Dan Patrick Show, came here, and Maggie and McLovin would have had a good sound.
Yeah.
And I know, Maggie, you probably wanted that.
I definitely
but here's the thing.
Wanted that.
Bill Simmons had just called out. He's like, why are the DP Show guys using a nickname from a movie that was 18 years ago still? And that was always in my mind. First of all.
Well, we didn't have the IP also to put it on a show.
Also, it was Dan's nickname. Like, I was like, that kind of feels weak in that sense. Also, Bill's like, that is so lame that they're still using the McLovin from Superbad. That always stuck in my mind.
Yeah, but you can't do anything. Bill Simmons has made his a career off of nostalgia and looking back at things. 30 for 30, he's got a whole thing called the Rewatchables. All he does is live in the past. You can't go off of Simmons.
Yeah, I don't know. It just
doesn't have anything to do with it.
It felt stupid. Also, like, the McLovin thing, like, no one in my real life ever called me that. And, like, it never even made sense to me so much. I just sort of went with it because, you know, the reason that I was originally called McLovin is because I was at SI and Dan probably couldn't remember my name. Just like in TV, you always get a nickname, right? Yeah. And Dan came from ESPN, so everybody had a nickname. Everybody was something. It never really totally made sense. And I could never sell t-shirts or anything because it would always be the other McLovin. I would have loved to sell the license that has just one name on there, a t-shirt, but couldn't do it. So I really, yeah, I didn't care to continue it. Although, yeah, people are like, who's Perloff?
Yeah.
And then like you guys keep it alive, but I would never say, oh, I was a McLovin on the Dan Patrick Show.
And that's why we call you Muhammad now.
Muhammad Perloff.
See, I think it's a heck of a... We could have gone Perloff. We could have gone Maggie and Pearl.
We thought about that.
Are we rebranding right now on the show?
Are we what?
I don't know.
All right, Daffy Duck over there.
Yeah.
But I think I came in, Manny and EJ, I was a little strong. I'm like, yeah, I'm exactly like Earl the Pearl Monroe or Dwayne Pearl Washington. Yeah. I was playing up my basketball skills, and that was a turnoff to everyone around. Like, no, you ain't no Pearl.
You really got to be sick. That's right.
Yeah, you
got to
have handle. Like, there's no tomorrow to be nicknamed Pearl.
You could probably be Pearl in like Fargo, North Dakota, but not in New York City, man.
True.
Yeah. But since my last name is Perloff, I have two younger brothers. Their nicknames are both, guess what? Pearl.
Yeah.
It's a very natural nickname for someone named Perloff, which is not a common name.
Well, so here's the thing, right? It's like the big dumper with Cal Raleigh. He didn't like it at first, but then when he accepted it, then he gained a lot of fame off of it. He's having the best season of his career and maybe anyone's career. Like, he's in being mentioned with Mickey Mantle and stuff like that. You were McLovin. Maybe you didn't understand it at the beginning or like it, but then it became a part of you, and I think it would have been fine to continue it on. You were almost just as McLovin as Christopher Mintz-Plasse was McLovin.
Well, let me ask you a question. Was Big Dumper the second Big Dumper? Was there a...
Maybe.
Check the clubhouse. Was there a dumper, a small dumper perhaps?
If there was another Big Dumper, then... Say there was a Big Dumper in the 70s.
A minuscule
and then,
one.
Okay, how about this, though?
That's the issue. Like, no. If my nickname was, I was the first Big Dumper, then we could be called Maggie and the Big Dumper.
Somebody trademarked that immediately. Down the hall, who do we have?
Boomer and Geo.
We got Boomer Esiason. Who else is Boomer? Chris Berman. Does anyone care that they're both Boomer? No, they're both talented.
What the hell was that all about?
They both have the nickname Boomer.
Yeah, but Boomer.
Back.
They both are called Boomer.
It's so different. There's very Boomer. Like nobody even knows his real name.
Boomer.
What is Boomer's real name?
I have no idea.
R. Boomer.
Norman.
Norman.
I had no clue.
Norman
just now.
Julius.
Are you serious?
I'm so serious.
Norman Julius, right?
Yeah.
Boomer. When you look at a high school draft profile of Boomer Esiason, it says Boomer Esiason.
Yeah.
Okay. There's like Chris Berman was totally different. Like Boomer, that's his name.
I'm saying Boomer! Two people can have the same nickname. It happens.
Right, but Boomer Esiason is not a nickname. That is Boomer.
This is going back to our nickname bracket.
EJ, look me right in the eye. Is Boomer Esiason's nickname Boomer?
I don't think of it as his nickname.
It's his name.
What the hell was that all about?
We'll never agree on this.
Yeah, I don't like that there are two LTs.
I was going to say that, too. That was one I was thinking about, too.
That didn't work out great for...
LaDainian?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like that was always a little bit... He was a little robbed of being the only LT.
Oh.
Yeah.
But I feel like fans of his generation, though, as crazy as it is, they do think of LT, they first think of LaDainian Tomlinson.
Hmm.
I think, like, millennials? Definitely.
Yeah.
Pearl, you could have kept being the
Why the would it be between that or Muhammad?
But if you don't want to, then we respect it. You move on. Different part of your life.
Well, actually, no. I don't think it would have worked out well for anybody. I think, like, DP Nation be like, that's so weak, dude. That's our nickname.
Oh, they love you, though.
And by the way, though, I'm very happy you kept Maggie and Pearl off because now I have a great fantasy football team name.
Oh, what's your name?
I always name my team after wherever I work. So now my team name is Maggie and Pearl Offense.
Ah, you're running the Pearl offense.
Yeah, we're running the Pearl offense.
I had to change my team name to from Joe Shiesty's Batmobile to Joe Shiesty's Mangled Toe.
Yeah, because Joe Burrow never bought the Batmobile, right?
Yeah, that, and now he's got a messed up toe.
He didn't buy the Batmobile because the
robbery.
People that broke into his house?
Yeah.
It's a good reason not to.
Yeah, he didn't pull the trigger. He was close, but he didn't pull the trigger on it.
He's not actually Batman. It's not like he can fight the assailants.
Can you steal the Batmobile?
Yes. People can steal anything.
What type of rookie question is that?
Yeah. I'm saying in the movies, does the Batmobile get stolen?
His son steals a Batmobile. Yeah.
But isn't there one where like somebody gets in and they can't drive it because they're not Batman?
Yeah. Well, Penguin tries to drive it remotely.
What the fuck are we doing?
Yeah, I do remember that, actually.
Yeah, which that was a pretty funny scene.
That was a good scene.
But I think with Joe, I think he was just bummed by getting robbed. Not that he was afraid someone was going to take it from him. Mm. I think he was just kind of...
Like depressed?
Yeah. That's the way I interpret it.
I mean, what would cheer you up?
Explanation.
The Batmobile.
I guess.
You don't want to be like Bruce Wayne and have your, you know, son who's a jerk come and steal it and go for a joyride. Who would want that to happen?
I didn't know Bruce Wayne had a son.
Damian Wayne. He's the fourth Robin, Maggie.
Yeah,
the fourth male Robin.
We call him Brucito in Latin America. this is comic book, though, right?
This is canon, yes. Yeah. But it's going to be in the next Batman movie, so get ready.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Who's that
Batman?
We've
been warned.
We don't know yet, actually.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
You have a thought of who you want to play the next Batman?
Alan Rickman really wants to do it, but it seems like James Gunn doesn't want him.
How about Christopher Mintz-Plasse?
I was going to say, bring him back.
From reporter number two to Batman, Andrew Perloff.
Honestly, your IMDb is better than any of ours.
True.
Wait, you said Alan Rickman wants to play Batman?
Yes.
Like the guy from Love Actually, Alan Rickman? Like the old British actor?
Oh, no. Then what's his name? Adam, maybe? The blonde dude, strong, big blonde dude from the Reacher. I want to say
from the Reacher.
Oh, the guy from the show Reacher.
Yeah,
you mean Thad Castle?
No.
Oh,
are you guys speaking English? What is
Alan Rickman is super famous.
Also,
you guys
Alan,
know
Rickman
Alan Rickman
passed away in 2016. Yeah,
that's tough guess.
Is it son?
No, there's a 42-year-old man named Alan Rickman. I'm not going crazy. Yeah, Alan Rickman.
That's Thad Castle.
Rick's son.
That is Thad Castle from Blue Mountain State.
Oh, okay, my bad.
You don't watch Blue Mountain State?
Oh.
Oh. But people I can't like Dave Matthews.
People love his version of Reacher.
Yeah, no, it's supposed to be sick. I would be cool with Alan Rickman. Sorry, I said Rickman. That's probably all wrong.
You were thinking Alan Rickman. It was probably
the name's
famous actor. Harry Potter? No.
Yeah, Harry Potter.
Yeah, he was Snape.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. It's literally one letter difference in their names.
Alan Richson.
Apologies to America.
What about like Chalamet or something? Or
He's too small.
So this Batman,
Austin Butler.
This Batman has to be older because he has a son.
Mm.
So he can't be like 25. He has to be like
right,
40 or 35. Or
I can't believe I'm continuing. But aren't they doing another Robert Pattinson movie?
They're doing that too, but that's going to be
there's two different Batman. Oh my
there
God.
Will be two different Batmans, yes. Get with it, people.
When's the animated one coming out with Adam Scott, whatever his name was?
Oh, that came, I think it just came out. No, they're making that one. A Lego Batman.
They're making a Lego Batman.
They've already had a Lego Batman. Yeah, it was amazing.
More than one.
But then there's another movie, and they just made a game, I think.
What is going on here?
You can never have enough Batman.
I think you can.
I think yesterday was Batman Day, I believe.
Where?
Every day's Batman Day.
Only in Gotham City, obviously. All right, Bogus, take it away.
Well, Maggie, she might be your new hero, model and Dancing with the Stars alum Brooks Nader. Yep. Might have been hanging out with Carlos Alcaraz and Jannik Sinner right up until the two men met in the U.S. Open final a few weekends ago. Brooks was asked about the relationships last night on Bravo's Watch What Happens Live.
I would just say a lady never kisses and tells, especially twice. That's just not nice.
There was some laughing, some applause. Brooks lost her train of thought, so Andy Cohen jumped in.
The question was, did the fellas know that you were dating both of them? Or were you dating both of them? Is that true?
I mean, dating is such a loose term, you know, these days.
Right.
It's just, you know, I don't know. By the way, my only thing is guys do it all the time.
Yes,
so why
they
can't
do.
I do it?
I well, yes. It.
That's a standing ovation.
What's wrong with you people?
From Andy Cohen, Mark Ronson, and the entire studio audience. If you want to join in, which actually that might have happened about 100 feet from us last night.
You know, the view is like over here to the left, and Watch What Happens Live is to the right. So she said a woman, a lady, never kisses and tells, or twice.
Yeah.
She just confirmed it right there.
She kind of did.
Yeah. Wait, the view is on our block.
Yeah.
No, well, the new ABC building is right outside our door.
It's on Spring Street because I was over there the other day and all these people were waiting outside. And I was like, what are you guys waiting for? And like, we just saw the view.
Yeah, the Tamron Hall people, they'd be psyched to get in there. They'd be lining up like I feel like all my aunties would be out there.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, see next reunion.
Perloff has consumed a lot of shocking news over the last 5 minutes
or so.
Yeah,
I know.
From Batman to this.
Do you want to go be in the studio audience of The View? Put hot pokers in my eyes.
Don't make me answer that question.
I'm also having deja vu of referencing the fact that this ABC building was now nearby and him having that same reaction as if he noticed the crowds.
I didn't even know The View was ABC, to be honest. No, I mean, like, it's daytime programming. Yeah. I wasn't sure.
It could be on any network, to be
honest.
True. And there's also like five different, like, the same show.
Morning
like,
variety
people
shows.
People have taken that show and just done the same thing.
Yeah, all the, like, yeah, Kelly Clarkson, Drew Barrymore. I'm not really sure what networks those are on.
Well, those are syndicated. I think The View actually belongs to ABC.
That's what I kind of thought. I thought it was like Kelly Clarkson. Got it.
It was a good Wednesday off the field.
We got that cleared up.
For the Washington Commanders, the D.C. Council giving the team final approval for its multi-billion-dollar plan for a new stadium at the RFK Stadium site. There apparently were some last-minute negotiations that might have jeopardized this vote, but it ends well for the club.
The Commanders.
I think we talked about this just yesterday. The Dodgers shifting Shohei Ohtani to the bullpen for the postseason. Mm-hmm. Manager Dave Roberts said yesterday, discussions have been had, but this would be a drastic change for Ohtani, the pitcher.
He's a very methodical, disciplined, routine-driven person. So, you know, the pen is a complete opposite, right? So you potentially could be taking on risk. And we've come this far, certainly, with the kid gloves and managing him. So I just don't know how it could play out. But it's something we're all talking about kind of to make it work.
Ohtani was just a hitter last night, homer number 51 in a 5-0 win over the Phillies. The Dodgers avoiding a 3-game sweep. Their NL West lead remained 2 games since the Padres beat the Mets 7-4 behind a Manny Machado grand slam. Those Mets still a game and a half ahead of Arizona for the last wild card spot. The Giants and Reds move up to 2 games behind them.
Padres on the loose. Let's go, Goose.
By the way, just a programming note, Batman Day is Saturday. So wear your best Batman gear and celebrate as you choose.
I certainly will not.
you are not doing the Batman community service this morning. You were wrong about Rickman Rickson, and now you got Batman Dave wrong. You should make sure your club card still scans correctly. Mm.
Rickman and Rickson is not crazy. That's one word. Mm. They're both actors. Also, that's not
one's
that
dead.
One, the other one is Thad Castle.
No, but it's just I mixed up the name, not the person. In my head, I was thinking about the big, strong, blonde guy from Reacher.
If you really are celebrating Batman Day, where are you going? You're putting on a cape and doing what?
Oh, you put on a t-shirt. Yeah, you put on a t-shirt probably and watch a movie. Watch one of the great Batman movies out there. There's a million of them.
Thrilling.
Go to 66. Go to The Dark Knight.
Go to 6-7.
Batman Returns. Batman 92.
To all who celebrate, we wish you a good Batman
Watch Batman animated series. Watch Batman Beyond. There's plenty of things you can do.
Do we get tomorrow off because of this?
No? Should.
Okay.
There's like 37 movies out right now for Batman, so... Mm.
We got to get to this Ohtani thing.
We just got to break this conversation any way possible. I don't care.
I got us.
We can talk about any sports topic.
Let's get to Ohtani because this one has a lot of interesting details about how the Dodgers could potentially use him in the postseason. Very, very cool stuff. We'll do that next.
Why the f*** would it be between that or Muhammad?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Get to Shohei Ohtani in just a moment because Dave Roberts was talking yesterday about how they could possibly use Ohtani coming out of the bullpen because the Dodgers have six starting pitchers in the rotation right now. And to put Ohtani in the outfield could actually keep him, keep his bat in the lineup while also trying to have him come out of the bullpen. So there's a lot of machinations of that. But first, Stan is in Westport, Connecticut. I see here, Stan, you have a Kansas City Chiefs conspiracy theory. I assume this has nothing to do with Taylor Swift, but what do you have?
Well, it might have to, but before we get there, I'm now convinced that Mohammed Perloff is the only person in the world who can solve the Middle East conflict.
We'll get our best guy on it, yeah.
You got to get with it. Anyway, here's the thing. I was at the Jets-KC game in 2023, which also happened to be a Sunday night game. And the Jets outplayed the Chiefs pretty respectively.
Yep, I remember that. Zach Wilson. Actually. Yep.
Yeah, he did a great job. He definitely outplayed Mahomes. Mahomes was off. And in the fourth quarter, with about 4 minutes left, there was a third and 20 after they made a third and 22. And, you know, the ref waited until the interception was like 10, 15 yards up the field on the return and threw a flag for holding, which was a bogus call on the replay. It was ridiculous. So the point is, if the Giants would go back and study that tape in detail, they might, figure out a way to to beat the Chiefs because it's ostensibly a similar team as it was then. But the other piece is there's a lot of people, and it's, you know, not necessarily me, but the conspiracy theory is the league and the networks, et cetera, the powers that be, will just not allow Kansas City to be an 0-3 team, and therefore the Giants have no chance, even if, like the Jets, they outplay KC. So,
Stan, that's a heck of a conspiracy. Thank you for bringing it to our attention. It's kind of a loser's lament from the Giants' side. We have no chance because the league's against us.
I totally disagree. The conspiracy, by definition, means that something is hidden. Everyone knows the officials aren't Team KC. That's been incredibly well documented. Like half of the, if you look at the stripes, there's a red jersey underneath. You can see the red.
Oh gosh.
To say that the Chiefs help, the officials help Patrick Mahomes does not fall into conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theory is the Patriots bug the Broncos locker room, not that, we all know Patrick Mahomes gets the calls.
Was this the Warren Commission, right? That was investigating JFK's assassination?
Yeah, by the way, it's so funny. Remember all the hatred towards the Chiefs and all the disgust at the way Patrick Mahomes gets calls? That disappeared because they got killed in the Super Bowl. Like, EJ still holds on to it. But generally, what Stan's saying, I think a lot of people have believed over the last 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, but I think there's a more reasonable explanation from this. We don't need a magic bullet on this one. It's the fact that the Chiefs have always been playing these home games. And I just think, in general, throughout the history of our life, home teams get calls. Now, they try to, like, officiate this out with replay and eye in the sky and the, you know, people back in New York or whatever. But home teams get calls, and the Chiefs have enjoyed this home field advantage through the playoffs most often than not. So isn't it more like that? You really think that this is a one score game in the fourth quarter, we're going to get some egregious call that helps Kansas City?
I don't think it's intentional, but Patrick Mahomes has always gotten the calls. I mean, we don't even have to debate that.
People say the same thing about Josh Allen always gets the calls.
Not like Patrick Mahomes. Do they always say that about Josh? I mean, Patrick Mahomes, that was a lot. Travel back in time a year ago, and this was not a hot take to say Mahomes gets a lot of calls.
Definitely not. But that the league is not going to allow Kansas City to be 0-3.
I think Stan was saying that a little tongue in cheek.
I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of people who think maybe because Taylor's there now that the Chiefs get a little nudge. I don't know about that. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's home games. But if there is a big call that helps out Patrick Mahomes, you know the internet's going to go crazy saying, oh, there they go again.
You're right. 888-710-4ISN. Okay, Ohtani. So this one is pretty interesting. We saw Ohtani Pearl come out of the bullpen famously in the World Baseball Classic. He struck out his then teammate Mike Trout, and Japan won the entire tournament. Really dramatic moment, really amazing moment, quite frankly, for baseball. But the way it works now is that Ohtani can still stay in the game as a DH even after he's a starting pitcher. But that could go away if he leaves the game and then goes to the bullpen. So he can, the baseball bylaws say he can play in the outfield and then go pitch in relief. Or you could avoid all of this and he could be the closer. So you could, in theory, I guess if the game goes to extra innings, then you're kind of screwed. You don't have his bat in the lineup, but you could have him just come in to close games for you and then not worry about it.
Well, it's kind of weird though, because don't you need some experience as a closer to be a closer? I mean,
well, he has done it a little bit. I mentioned the World Baseball Classic. Okay. That was him closing. And he has played a few games in the outfield for the Angels. But ever since he's gone through a lot of different injury stuff, it's been mostly upper body. But he hasn't played the outfield since the Angels, obviously.
Yeah, I saw it was 6 games in the outfield. That wasn't even a real thing. I mean, it's cool. You're right. It's very cool. It could be very interesting. I don't know. I have trouble seeing that really affecting the total outcome of the playoffs. Like, is it really, like, is he going to come in the bullpen and be such a big factor for the Dodgers?
Well, they need bullpen help. That's the crazy thing about the Dodgers right now. Their starting rotation goes 6 deep, and everyone's been great for the most part. But the bullpen definitely needs some help. Stop if you've heard that before with the Dodgers. So to me, I think what would make the most sense, as opposed to disrupting Ohtani. And last segment, Andrew Bogish played a clip from Dave Roberts about how Ohtani's so much about his routines and all that. Why not just keep him in the rotation for the playoffs and then move one of your other guys to the bullpen? I'm not saying it has to be Clayton Kershaw. I'm just saying one of your other dudes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, with that many starters, you don't need him to just have him hit. Because remember last year he was hurt for the World Series didn't really do anything. They still won.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Might not be as easy this time around.
I'm still to the point where I just still think they should just hit him. I know. And no. He had a no-hitter going through five innings.
Yeah.
Like, to me, his bat is what's going to win, not his pitcher.
You have this weapon. You've got to use it if you're the Dodgers.
They won easily last year without him pitching.
That's because the Yankees can't field to save their life.
Still can't.
That's true. Megan Frohlich.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.